time of the year, it is quite a common practice for different groups of people to hold get-togethers, anniversaries, celebrations, parties, call them what you like. Many years ago, when I was quite a young lad, I used to get a number of invitations to attend these things with a view to reciting poems. Of all the poems that I used to recite at these anniversaries, there is one that always proved to be a great favorite, and on many an occasion I was asked to recite this particular poem, which of course is well known to many of you, but may be new to some of my listeners. I want to recite that poem to you now. The title is The Touch of the Master's Hand. 'Twas battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it hardly worth his while to waste his time on the old violin, but he held it up with a smile. "What am I bidden, good folk?" he cried. "Who'll start the bidding for me?" "A dollar." "A dollar? Now who'll make it two?" "$2, and who'll make it three?" "Is going. Going for three." But no, from the room far back a grey-haired man came forward and picked up the bowl, then wiping the dust from the old violin and tightening the loosened strings, he played a melody pure and sweet as an angel sings. The music ceased, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, "Now, what am I bid for the old violin?" And he held it up with the bow. $1,000. "Now who'll make it two?" "It's 2,000. And who'll make it three?" "It's 3,000 once. It's 3,000 twice. It's going, and it's gone," said he. The people cheered, but some of them cried, "We do not quite understand. What changed its worth?" Quick came the reply, "'Twas the touch of the master's hand." And many a man with life out of tune, all battered and scarred by sin, is auctioned cheap to the thoughtless crowd, much like the old violin. A pipe of pot, or a glass of wine, a gamble, and he travels on. He's going once, and going twice. Yes, he's going, and almost gone. But the master comes, and the foolish crowd never can quite understand the worth of a soul and the change that's wrought by the touch of the master's hand. And now, perhaps, some of my listeners today are like the old violin insofar as this: your life is out of tune. You're not living in correct relationship with your God. Let me read to you some verses from the Bible that may come as a help to you. I'm reading from the 40th Psalm. "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Now let me try and get home to all your hearts today with a little message based on this idea that we have presented to you, because as we are coming towards the end of the year, it is time for each of us to take inventory. Put yourself to the test. As you are about to leave this year and step out into the new year, and you look back on the year or the years that are past, and over the past you can write in large, shining letters, failure, disappointment, distress. Things have not been what you would like them to be. And as I read to you these verses from the Bible, here is a man who's bearing his testimony for what the Lord has done for him. And he thinks of the time when he was in the state of distress. He was in an horrible pit, sinking in the miry clay. Now get the picture. We're not told how the man got down there, but you can rest assured if he had been walking correctly, he would never have fallen into that disused pit. He would never have fallen into the miry clay. But it may be like John Bunyan in the Pilgrim's Progress, when the two travellers came to the Slough of Despond, they failed to see the stepping stones, and they slipped into that awful Slough of Despond. One of them, of course, got out on the right side, and the other turned back and got out on the wrong side and went back to destruction. I wonder if my voice is reaching some home today and touching some heart today. And my friend, you look back on the past and how disappointed you are. You find yourself in the horrible pit. And a man in such a condition, you know, if he tried to climb out, he would only get worse. If he tried by his own effort, the more he tried to climb up in that miry clay, his weight would drag him further down, and he would find himself sinking further and further down into that miry clay and in that horrible pit. That is exactly what the writer of the psalm is saying. There was a time when he found himself in such a condition, in the horrible pit, in the miry clay. But while he was there, he did something. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. The second thing we notice then concerning this man is this: he is crying for help. I wonder, am I reaching someone today who has been in a plight? You don't know the way out. You can't see the light at the end of the dark tunnel. And yet you're crying for help. Might I ask you, my friend, have you cried to the right person? You see, this man in the psalm here is crying to the Lord. He says, the Lord inclined unto me and heard my cry. Now, if any poor sinner will cry to the Lord, remember this, there is a biblical principle goes into effect, and it's this: whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, I'm not concerned at the moment with where you are or the physical condition in which you find yourself. All I want to say is this: if sin has dragged you down, and you're not the man, and you're not the woman that you should be, or you're not the person you would like to be, all because you've been trapped by sin, and you've got yourself into difficulties in life, difficulties that make you feel ashamed, and it may be that not only you are ashamed, but your relatives are ashamed, and you're thinking all the world is against you. You're like the old violin, battered and scarred, and been thrown aside as if you were worthless. My friend, listen. The Lord can make a new man of you, or a new woman, as the case may be. Listen again to the words: I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. The Lord has never turned a deaf ear to the cry of a needy sinner. There's never yet been anyone who has cried to the Lord without being heard. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Many years ago, there was a young fellow, his name was Danny. And Danny had a Christian mother. But the unfortunate thing about Danny was this, that he wouldn't listen to the advice of his Christian mother. He wanted to do his own thing. He told me himself that many a time he broke into premises and just helped himself. But one day the law caught up with him. There was evidence to convict him, and he was put in jail. He was doing a stretch, as he used to say, in an old jail. In the days when prisoners were put into solitary confinement, and Danny was doing a stretch of solitary confinement in the jail. But there was one thing that these old prisoners were always given in the old days, and that is, they were given a copy of the Bible. If they had nothing else to read and nothing else to do in their solitary confinement, they could read their Bible. And Danny, in the cell, solitary confinement, took his Bible and began to read it. Now note this very carefully. While he was reading his Bible in the cell, his old mother at home was on her knees praying for her boy, Danny. And while he was in the cell, Danny remembered things that he was told at home. And there in that cell, doing a stretch for breaking the law, Danny trusted the Lord. The Lord heard his cry, and he came home when his time was up. And many a time I was with him, I preached with him, I walked with him, I seen the respect that was shown to him. And when Danny was dying, he was lying in a room with four other patients in a hospital, and the only thing he could move in his body was his right arm. He was paralyzed as a result of an accident. And when Danny was dying, he raised his hand and he said, "Men, if you'll just look here for a moment," he said, "I'm dying. But if you have never seen a Christian die before, here's one dying now and going home to be with the Lord." And he did. On the day of his funeral, there was a few hundred people gathered in the cemetery to pay the last respects to a man who was looked upon as a Christian gentleman. But remember, there was a time in his former life, in his early days, when Danny had slipped down into the pit of sin. He was sinking in the miry clay, but under the strange circumstances of being in the prison, it was there he learned the truth that he required a Saviour. He saw himself as a sinner, hurrying on to an undone eternity, and it was there he cried to the Lord, and the Lord inclined his ear to Danny. He heard his cry and saved his guilty soul. Listen, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. See, the Lord heard him. He inclined unto me. He heard my cry. What a mercy that the Lord will hear us no matter where we are. Oh, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, the grace that hears us, and the grace that saves us. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And he says here, he brought me up. You know, it's a wonderful thing to be lifted up. Plain words, let me use a Bible word, he was saved. My friend, let me ask you today, do you know what it means to be saved? Do you know anything at all about the salvation that can be yours? Salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the man couldn't lift himself up. The more he struggled, the more he tried, the further he slipped down into the miry clay. And that's exactly what has happened to sinners time and time again. It comes the end of the year, and they make the New Year resolutions, and there are certain things they're not going to do in the New Year, and before 2 or 3 days have passed, there again have fallen to the temptation, and they're travelling again the pathway of sin. No, my friend, you cannot save yourself, but there's a Saviour in the glory, whose arm is not shortened that it cannot save. His arm is long enough and strong enough to lift the poor repentant sinner. He'll lift you up out of the pit of horrors. He'll lift you up out of that treacherous, miry clay. Now, others may laugh. Others may seem to be amused. Or they may laugh you to scorn. But remember this, it's no laughing matter when a man is gripped in the trap of sin and cannot help himself. But remember, God and God only can bring you out. The Lord Jesus Christ has the power to save any sinner, no matter how far he has gone. But, says someone, suppose I was to trust the Saviour. What am I going to do in the future? Listen to what he says here. He set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. You see, down in the miry clay, there was no foothold. The more he struggled, the further he went in. His own weight just carried him down. But when you have your feet planted on a solid rock, my, there you have a good foothold. You may fall on the rock, but you cannot fall through the rock. And I'll go further than that. Christ is that rock, and you cannot fall off the rock. He sets your feet upon that good, solid foundation. You'll be able to say, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. You see, here is a man now who is established, because his feet have been established on the solid rock. He has established my goings. And if your goings have been established, if you've got the solid rock under your feet, oh, you can sing of the mighty deliverance. You've been delivered from that sinking, miry clay. You've got your feet now on the true, solid rock. He's established your goings. He'll keep you from falling, and He'll keep you going on right to the end. But, says someone, that's all right for old people, but surely that can be a very sad life. No, my friend, listen to this. He said, and He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. See, the man who has been delivered is able to sing. Away back in the book of Exodus, you'll discover there the record of the first song. And the people who sang that song were people who had been delivered. They had been delivered from the bondage of Egypt, delivered from Egypt's slavery. And when God opened up the way of salvation for them and brought them through the Red Sea to the redemption side of that Red Sea, and their enemies were overthrown, they themselves were gloriously delivered, then they were able to sing. They were singing their song about the Lord, and they were singing their song to the Lord. And when you come to the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, you'll find there in chapter 5 a mighty throng of people, a multitude, an innumerable multitude. And they're singing their praises unto the Lamb that was upon the throne. And here back in the psalm I have read to you, here's a man who has experienced something of deliverance. He cried to the Lord out of all his trouble. The Lord inclined his ear, delivered him out of his distress. The Lord saved him. He established his going. He made him joyful. He put a new song in his mouth, and it was even praise unto our God. You see, this new song belongs to the new life of faith. It is a song of praise unto the Lamb who is worthy, for He was slain and has redeemed us to God by His blood. He puts this song only into the mouths of those whose feet He has set upon the rock. Now then, there's going to be a testimony in his life. He says others will see it, they'll fear, and they'll trust in the Lord. And then, happy is that man that maketh the Lord his trust. At this time of the year, you'll be wishing one another the season's greetings. You'll be wishing one another a happy new year. Oh, my friend, as you listen to my voice now, will you kindly take hold of this text? Do you want to have true happiness? Do you want to know what true happiness is? Here it is. Happy is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Happy is that man that maketh the Lord his trust. Where you are, my friend, right now, if there has never been a time when you have trusted the Lord, and throughout this year there's been a lot of disappointments, you hardly know which way to turn, you would like to have the real thing, you would like to know that you're right with God, may I ask you that where you are, as you are right now, would you be willing to cry unto the Lord for salvation? As a poor sinner, turn and trust the Lord. Happy is that man that maketh the Lord his trust. Let us bow for prayer. Our Father, we pray now that thy blessing shall rest upon everyone who has listened to this broadcast today. Save some precious soul. Lay a fresh trophy at the Savior's feet. We'll give thee all the glory. In the Savior's precious name, Amen.